Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Cruising into hour three, this Wednesday edition of Follow the Money, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in. Last day for the guys, Mitch and Polly, will make their triumphant return tomorrow. Still to come this hour, we'll talk plenty of hockey. Excited to have NHL on TNT play-by-play voice of the Seattle Kraken, John Forslund, join us, talk through both the men's and women's hockey side of things, which, by the way, real quickly, we do have openers for the semifinal games that are coming up on Friday. Canada, a $6 money line favorite, laying 2.5 on the puck line. Is even money, though, if you want to lay the 2.5 goals. Goal total, 5.5. USA, an $8 favorite against Slovakia, also laying 2.5, although that's juiced at minus 125. Goal total, 525 there as well, juiced minus 135 to the over. So that is where we stand early on those semifinal matchups.
Yeah, Mitch and Paul back tomorrow. Everyone, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, but wish Pauly Howard the best. He had a calf implant surgery while he was away for the last couple weeks. So everyone say, I hope the new calves look great. He was a little self-conscious about his legs. New calves for Pauly Howard there. Give him a tweet at Pauly Howard.
Maybe tanning them as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Also, lots of college basketball that we're going to get into. We've got two top 25 on top 25 games coming up later on this afternoon, including one of them that's going to tip off right after we get off the air today. So we'll preview that. A lot of fun tonight.
I have a dog I like tonight in the Big East that I don't understand the line. I think it should be half of what it is. They're completely being undervalued because the team that's favored should not be favored against anyone by this many points.
I am very curious if we're thinking of the same team. So that'll be a fun conversation we'll have in a little bit. But let's actually kick things off here, getting into the NBA, because just about an hour ago we saw, and we've seen a handful of injury news items come through from Shams Charania throughout the course of the morning. But just a little bit ago, a pretty big one for the Sacramento Kings, Domantas Sabonis reportedly undergoing season-ending surgery earlier this morning to repair a meniscus in his left knee. He rehabbed during the season, tried to play through it, but now official, he had to have surgery.
Yeah, and for Sacramento, this is what they want. They're part of the great tank off of 2026. They don't want to win basketball games. That's what we're looking at right now. It's the NBA's problem.
You can't fine us for surgery.
Yeah, they can't fine us if he needs the surgery. What I'd say is, you know, there's a guy coming off the bench that I've used it from a player prop perspective for a while, Maxime Reynaud. I believe he played at Stanford. He's like 7'2". He puts up numbers when Sabonis isn't in the lineup. Now that he's going to play more, I imagine his player props are going to adjust. There's nothing available for him right now, but he's the biggest beneficiary of no Sabonis. He probably plays better defense than Sabonis because he stinks. Sacramento, by the way, the worst team pretty much in basketball outside of the Wizards defending centers for player props. So if you want to attack them with rebounding props, yeah. I still don't hate that, but more, I think without Sabonis and guys like Nick Clifford getting a bigger run and Devin Carter playing more for the Kings, I think Maxime Reynaud may be the guy that ends up putting up some pretty good numbers, and the people behind the counter might be slow to adjust some of his points and rebound props.
They will be in action tomorrow as part of a 10-game slate coming up facing the Orlando Magic. Magic with an injury update of their own. Franz Wagner sidelined indefinitely after recent tests showed he requires additional time in rehab for soreness in his left high ankle sprain. This according to ESPN. They're going to evaluate his progress throughout the course of the next couple weeks. Sacramento getting 8.5 at home, total 223.5 in that game. I don't know if that one was top of mind for you tomorrow, but any early thought?
Well, no, I'm on Wendell Carter. I went over 7.5 boards for him at plus 103. You're looking at Sacramento. They allow the fifth most rebounds per game to opposing centers. Wendell Carter, he's not really going to give you much from a points perspective, so I'm staying away from his points there. But you look at his rebounds recently. Last game before the break for him on the 11th, he had 11 boards. He had 8 prior to that, 6 before that, 8 and 7. So we're talking about him going over 3 of his last 4. No Wagner out of the lineup means maybe a few more minutes for him, but more importantly, a few more boards he has to grab. So I'll go over 7.5 rebounds on Wendell Carter at a plus price.
One more injury, and I think this was expected for all intents and purposes, but Mavstar Kyrie Irving going to miss the rest of the season with needing additional time to heal that torn ACL. His agent and stepmom, which I didn't know that until I read her name and Googled it, Shetelia Riley Irving, telling ESPN, quote, "This is about Kyrie being 1,000% when he comes back, giving himself the best chance to chase a championship next season."
Yeah, sure. He's going to be another step older, whatever. I'm sure that's it. That's Denver's plan. What team is he going to be on then? One more injury note. Pascal Siakam's been ruled out for Indiana against Washington. That's notable because I mentioned Sacramento stinks for centers. Washington is worse versus centers. The problem is you're dealing with a Pacers roster. I don't even know who the backup center is for them, but someone's going to benefit from Siakam, their main go-to guy on offense, being out of the lineup. Last couple games he was out, man, it's like Jairus Walker. Their bench, I don't know who these people are. Ethan Thompson, Talen Peter, Micah Potter, that's who's off the bench. Jairus Walker is probably the guy you think about here for the Indiana Pacers. Yeah, he had 24 points and he had 23 points the last two games without Siakam. Someone's going to have to get the ball in the basket. Jairus Walker appears the guy would be the guy for Siakam against Washington on Thursday.
There are a handful of, I think, pretty interesting, solid games tomorrow as we kick off the second half. I mentioned we got a full 10-game slate. You're going to have a lot of live action when you're on the air tomorrow night. Anything in particular right off the bat as you went through the spreads, totals, numbers that caught your attention?
So the Knicks-Pistons, that always jumps out to
for
me
sure.
in the Garden.
Four
especially,
and a half?
Yeah, it's 4.5. Totals 223.5. Knicks are amazing at home. Remember, Isaiah Stewart suspended. I believe Jalen Duren is back for this one, though. I think he served his suspension, which could be big for Detroit. But I think the Knicks, OG Anunoby is going to end up giving it a go. They got to turn it on now. This is the point in time where they got to get things going. As, by the way, Rutgers is out to a 9-0 start against Penn State. Penn State stinks. That's on my do not bet list.
Okay.
UCLA and Penn
okay.
State, I'm not allowed to bet. ADD, I'm back on the Knicks. I would think about laying it with the Knicks. Everything tells you that the obvious thing is Detroit can hang, and I believe in the playoffs. Detroit has the mentality to get under the Knicks' skin. I think they beat them like 40 points the last time they saw each other. For this isolated game, though, at the Garden, fresh off the break where the Knicks are so good at home, I do like the Knicks laying the four. That's the way I would lean in that game.
So he will not play, by the way, Jalen Duren will not play in that game tomorrow because the altercation happened against Charlotte. He missed the Toronto game.
Okay.
And then they took the break.
Because
so.
they tried to get it rescinded or whatever. Yeah,
yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, okay, so still one more.
Then you love the Knicks even more than at four, lane
okay.
four.
I'm trying to think. It's kind of a little bit of a bummer that we should have just called JVT to make him come in today because the team that he likes the most in the Western Conference is facing his favorite team in the Nuggets and Clippers going at it. That should be a fun one.
I'd lay the 4.5 on the road with
okay.
Denver because you've got Jokic now returning from the injury, a chance to catch his breath as well. But also, the Clippers don't have Zubac. Zubac is the closest thing we have out there to someone who can at least get in the way and slow down what Nikola Jokic wants to do and how they funnel the offense through him. So you factor in Jokic should be closer to his peak powers that we saw earlier in the year coming off that knee injury. But more importantly, Brook Lopez can't defend Jokic in the paint. I think Denver laying 4.5 is the way I'd look in that game.
The Cleveland Cavaliers land a massive number against the Brooklyn Nets, 16.5, total 229.5. We just saw on X that Evan Mobley is off the injury report. We have James Harden now in a Cavs uniform, and he has looked like a perfect fit for everything they're trying to do, not only for this game, but like big picture. What is your view on the Cleveland Cavaliers
okay,
right
now? So what's funny is I made the case like a month and a half ago for Cleveland 6-1 to win the East. I said, you know what, I'm going to bet it because once they get back to full strength, health is the only issue this year. And I think last year they learned the hard way. If you go too hard in the regular season, you got to leave something in the tank for the playoffs. So I thought that they'd get back to full strength and they'd be a team that can make a run. They trade for Harden after I placed the bet, and I'm like, I hate it. I hate James Harden. Not that I hate the player, right? I just hate what ends up happening to teams he's on. They always inevitably end up losing. I'll admit I'm wrong. I think this might end up being a really good fit because what James Harden's going to do that Darius Garland can't do, not just be on the floor and be available and be healthy, but the way he can run the pick and roll is going to unlock the offensive abilities of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Those bigs are going to eat underneath as defenses focus on Harden off that pick and roll. They will get mismatches going to the basket. I think my initial read was incorrect. Harden could be the thing that puts Cleveland over the top because it's not just Mitchell getting his. That's inevitable. He's going to end up being able to get buckets. It's that Mobley and Allen are going to be contributors offensively, something we weren't getting consistently the rest of the season.
So it's condensed at the top in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs are your favorite 3-1. Knicks +330, Pistons +350, Celtics +380 before it jumps off and we get to the double digits on some of those lesser than teams. Is Cleveland at +300 still a worthwhile bet then with that framework that you just gave?
No, because everyone's so close. They all can beat each other. If Boston gets Tatum back, they're the class. If Tatum is 85% of who he was, they can win this thing. Detroit is the team that I don't want to see. If I'm one of the contenders, I want to have to see them in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or I hope someone else can knock them off earlier. Because Detroit scares me with their ability to defend, with the edge they play with. And I think Cade Cunningham, the way he carries that team offensively and sets everyone else up, I think they're going to be very dangerous. They're going to give you the mold of like a Miami Heat team when they were able to spread the floor when Duncan Robinson was there, because now they added Kevin Huerter. So you've got Cade kicking it out to those guys. Durin dominates in the paint. When they get Beef Stew back, what he brings in physicality and intimidation, I think Detroit is going to be so undeterred by any situation. This team went to Madison Square Garden last year and got jobbed of a win. They got screwed by the refs. And I think that is lingering in their head. That's part of the motivation. And there's something about these young teams that build and come up together. I think that's what this Pistons team is. They may not have the talent of Cleveland. They may not have the veterans that the Knicks have. They may not have the upside that Boston offers. But Detroit has a different attitude and way of playing that I think that they can win the Eastern Conference still.
Did really quickly, while we're talking NBA, want to give a quick update from a local reporter in Charlotte that Joe Bruno from WSOC 9 in Charlotte, having footage of a LaMelo Ball car crash in Uptown Charlotte. It did not look good, but the front end of the car from a big vehicle coming into it, we'll see if we find out any more about this, if there is any injury stuff that comes out of it. But worth noting that this is from a reputable source that LaMelo Ball was in a car accident this morning.
Didn't he get caught, like someone with a car like peeling out or almost hitting someone once? And I feel like he's gotten into a car issue before.
On that note, we will search this a little bit more, but I did at least see that it was from a true, real source. That said, we have a lot of hockey that we need to get back into next.
Oh, thank God.
Excited to have John Forslund join us coming up next to talk through the Olympics and look ahead to the NHL when we get off the break.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Unreal day for Olympic hockey as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson with you. Three games that go to overtime, including both the U.S. and Canada, who both ultimately escape and find themselves in the semifinal, as we all thought they would be, just not quite the way we saw them getting there. Very excited to dive into all of this and, of course, look ahead to the back end of the Olympic break when we get back to the NHL season. John Forslund joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, NHL play-by-play voice, voice of the Seattle Kraken, prime Monday night hockey, the NHL on TNT. He does it all. And I'm sure, John, you have been enjoying all of this craziness just like the rest of us.
Yeah, Stormy and Dustin, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been great. I think the preliminary rounds, there were a couple of good games or other games where you think you see the disparity between the rosters. And, you know, the games kind of played out the way we thought they would. But today was unbelievable, the way the teams were pushed. You know, the U.S. and Canada both faced adversity for the first time in this tournament. I think it's a good thing. I think they needed it. Luckily, they both survived, because I think that's what everybody wants to see on Sunday. It doesn't always work out that way. That's, as the cliche goes, that's why they play. But I think each of these two teams now will recognize that they survived this situation. They'll dig down and probably be a lot better on Friday because of this.
Talk to me about what you saw with Canada earlier, John, because they were on the ropes. How concerning is it? Do you think this is just an isolated incident with a Chechia team that came ready to play, looking to upset the favorite in this games? They're minus $1.30 to win the gold medal. Or do you think this is something where Canada might have a couple of issues they have to work out here before they face the U.S. eventually?
Yeah, I think, you know, in Canada's case, I didn't think they had a good day. And I think that's going to happen. And, you know, it's how you look at the end of a bad day. So they look great at the end of a bad day. The thing you got to remember about both circumstances and all the teams that won today you know, they had a scheduling advantage. It's set up this way. So the team you're playing, the underdog team, is coming in on a back-to-back. And I thought Canada's speed would be prevalent, especially early in the game. And then when McDavid scored, it looked like that's the way it was going to play out. And then all of a sudden, Czechia had an answer. And then as you go deeper and deeper into the game, the underdog starts to build a little bit more confidence, and away we go. You saw probably the looks on the faces of every member of Team Canada when they were down 3-2. It was a look of obvious desperation, but also they were frightened, I think, by the moment. I think it's hard to understand the type of self-induced pressure these teams put themselves under. These players, the National Hockey League players, wanted to go to play in a tournament like this. But when you do and you have an entire country riding on your back, it can be overwhelming. But a lot of these guys have played in the most, pressurized situations you can have as pros. They should be able to handle it, but everybody's human. So I think for Canada, the first thing they're going to have to look at is, Jordan Binnington again made big saves in the clutch when they needed it, but at times during the game did not look like himself. And to me, that's still, you know, a situation that Canada's been great at deflecting, because they're right so far that Binnington is the best of what they have. He's struggled all season in the NHL, but he rises to the occasion in these big games. So that's the first thing you look at. The rest of it, you know, Canada's got enough firepower. I think it's pretty obvious. They should be able to win special teams. They should be able to, you know, outclass any opponent they see until they get to possibly the United States. So I just think it's a mental thing for them that maybe this is a lab experiment they had to go through today to get them to the next hurdle.
So with that in mind, and you say like outclassing anyone they play, they have the capability to, they're laying 2.5 goals against Finland. So the market is asking, can they win this game by 3 games or more in the semifinal? Team USA, same number that they are laying against the Slovakian team. Do you think that both of them are capable of winning by margin?
I think what you have to remember about all these circumstances is it is a game 7, right? And Stormy, I think you've seen enough hockey, you know this. When in a game 7, oftentimes 1-0 is not a surprise. And if you look at the way the United States and Sweden played today, not a lot of physicality, great skating, close checking, waiting for the other side to make a mistake, taking advantage of an opportunity. You know, the whistles get put away by the officials in the NHL in a game 7 situation. They let the teams determine it. So getting into a game where it's a blowout, you know, I don't know. I would guard against that. Wide margin of victory. I think it's going to be close. And I think Slovakia's got an exceptionally hot goalie right now. He's a hidden story. And, you know, he's a guy that's 4 deep in the Minnesota system. He plays in the American Hockey League, you know, and he's been great. So he's going to keep it close. Canada, you know, will have to, you know, do what they have to do in their game. You know, again, and Finland is a type of team that, again, is as a country, and when you look at international play, Finland keeps it close. So Canada's got a chore to work through, because it could be frustrating in terms of what they're up against defensively from the other side. And Slovakia, for, you know, in the U.S.'s case, I mean, this has been a team that has been the dark horse the entire tournament with no pressure. So it's pressure against no pressure. So I think the games are going to be tight.
John, let's do an early look ahead, the U.S. and Canada, because you're an American. You're surrounded by Canadians all the time. We have held their cup hostage since 1993. They're the favorites to win the gold medal. How does this game need to go for us to take the gold medal from the Canadians here and not just have the Stanley Cup, but also the gold for 4 more years until they get a chance another time around? How's the game have to go for the U.S. to win?
Yeah, I'm also an American on the call of Amazon's Prime Monday Night Hockey in Canada, which is hard to do, you know. But if you hang around long enough like I have, sometimes these things come your way. You know, the U.S., in a game like that, what I love about hockey is this. You know, hockey has changed a lot, and my career is now going on 42 years of pro hockey. and well over 30 years in the National Hockey League. And with those generations of changes, you see the game change right in front of your eyes. But the one thing that's never, ever changed is the goaltending. And I don't care if we're talking about the 1940s or the now. Goalies are the X factor in any hockey game at any level. So it's interesting that, you know, you've got Connor Hellebuck, who has had a, for him, not a great season. His team has struggled, but he is a, he's a dominant goaltender. And then you've got Jordan Binnington, you know, if they get there, he'll be the guy. And, you know, his story is that these are the moments that he wins all the time. So I think it really starts there when you get into it. And then you get into, you know, how's the game going to be played? I think you'll get into, again, close-checking hockey. We're not going to have a reincarnation of the Four Nations. We're not going to have what we saw there in terms of physicality. And, you know, there is no fighting in Olympic hockey. So we're not going to see anything like that. Will special teams play a role? Probably. But I think the officials will do a good job, to my previous points, on making sure it's even that way. Because really, to be honest, there is no... there's nothing aside from goaltending that can kill against Canada's power play. Canada's power play, both units, it's exceptional. It's the best in the world. You just can't stop that. So you don't want to get into that kind of game. So the U.S. is going to have to play close to the vest. They're going to have to protect through the middle of the ice. They're going to have to limit speed, you know, and when they have the puck, utilize your strengths. Utilize the mobile defensemen that you have, Werenski, Hughes, Faber. You know, these kids can move the puck and can be, you know, a one-person breakout. And, you know, that's what you look at. So you get into a team game with Canada, and the deeper you go and the closer it is, all of a sudden the U.S., who's an outstanding team, they just might be just a slight notch, in my opinion, below Canada in terms of the on-paper skill level. But as the game goes deeper, all of a sudden this great team in the U.S., doesn't have pressure. And will the pressure, you know, be too much for Canada in a tight game? So that's where I see the U.S., you know, winning the gold medal. That's the type of situation it's going to have to be.
John, we're up against the break, but if you can, in 30 seconds, is the Pacific Division still up for grabs in your eyes?
I think Vegas is finding it now. I think they're going to be in a great position coming out of the break. I think they're kind of comfortable with the way they're playing. And every other team is certainly in a situation where, you know, it is wide open. So the only team I see, if they come back the same way, and if Vegas can play consistently and get to what they believe they can be, I think they're just a notch above everybody else. The rest of it is a scramble, so anything's possible.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, you guys, keep up the great work. Thank you.
Back at you. John Forslund, play-by-play voice of the Seattle Kraken, NHL on TNT, doing a great job, as he mentioned. The Monday Night Prime as well out there in Canada. We've got to step aside here real quickly, but so much more to come here on Follow the Money. Don't go anywhere.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, let's get into some college hoops. We've got 11 nationally ranked teams in action, including a pair of top 25 on top 25 games ahead. Very excited. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson here. Last day in for the guys. Mitch and Paul will be back tomorrow on Follow the Money. But let's start with kind of I guess they're both kind of crown jewels. They're interesting games. The one I'm most interested, I will say, of the two is Arkansas-Alabama. Arizona BYU is the other one as well, and that's got like the number four ranked team in the country, but both of them have like such key players that are injured in this one. It's a big spread. The other game feels like the bigger star.
Yeah, and Arizona just feels like it's a bounce back spot for them coming off the loss. I think I'd prefer to go first half. I haven't looked at the number yet, but I'd probably go first half Arizona, just knowing you could get an inspired effort out of the Wildcats after suffering. It was back-to-back losses for them now, right? Back-to-back losses. So I do believe that is the way to go. You know, I had a guest on last night who's been betting for a long time, Stormy, and he was just like, yeah, I don't really care about X's and O's. It's all about the situationals, the look-aheads, the bounce-backs, all that stuff. I got to tell you, every time I believe in a bet because of its matchup based or there's a, there's someone who can't be stopped or I like the way that this team is playing a certain aspect.
Never goes that way. It,
but if you just focus on these situations, team coming off a loss, team with a big game coming up later, I feel like you do pretty good if you can isolate and pick your the right spots to bet on those.
So that half score for you, Arizona minus 6.5.
Yes, yes.
That's the play in your mind?
Actually, I'm going to add that right now. I think you're going to get the best version of Arizona here against the BYU team. Like, let's be fair.
They're going through it.
DeBansta's awesome. But even before Richie Saunders got hurt, they were starting to fall apart. So if they don't have their number two option there, what does this offense become? And you're going to have Arizona wanting to get right offensively. I just don't think they hang, at least for the first half. So I'm going to go first half. I'm going to lay that what'd you say, 7?
6.5. Minus 120, slight juice, but
done.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You mentioned that stretch of games for BYU, and they faced 4 top 15 teams in 2.5 weeks. The top of the Big 12 at when everyone has been healthy is probably the best in all of college basketball. Lose them all. You fall flat against Oklahoma State as well in a game where you thought that was going to be the spot for you to finally get right. You don't. The schedule finally eases up for a breather where you beat Baylor in Colorado, but even those games looked like a struggle, and you lose your most veteran heart and soul player in Saunders, who you mentioned. But all that to say, Arizona also doesn't have Coa Pete, which is significant.
Sure, sure. BYU, Kevin Young, 0-3 against the spread on the road when the total's in the 160s. Tommy Lloyd, 13-9 covering the number, off an upset loss as a favorite. He's 43-34 against the spread as a home favorite or a pick. In terms of the total, man, I could go either way. The series between BYU and Arizona is on a 3-0 to the over run. Kevin Young, 6-1 to the over as a road dog or pick, but Tommy Lloyd, 19-12 to the under when the total's in the 160s. It's 12-6 in the 160s at home.
Another angle, too, on Arizona could be the team total.
Yeah.
Like, BYU has given up almost 87 points per game in this 8-game stretch that they have struggled as much as they have.
Yes.
The total is 86.5 right now for Arizona, so it's high, but I could see that as a potential angle in this game too.
Because they're not calling off the dogs until they absolutely need to late, because they need to get into a rhythm here because we're late in the season. You don't want to lose what's gotten you here, which is the connectivity of these guys, the way they play together, the way the offense just kind of flows. You want to make sure you get back right now before the big games come in a couple weeks.
All right, let's go to Arkansas, Alabama, number 20 versus number 25. Arkansas getting 4.5 in Tuscaloosa. Total, get this, 183.5. This opened 181 and was played to the over.
You have to consider the under. I know it's crazy because it's too... You got Alabama playing a dangerous game here. Right. They want to play high tempo basketball. They want to get as many shots up and possessions as possible. The problem is Arkansas is so much more efficient. You're daring a team that is better than you offensively to play in a high tempo game. I'd consider the under. Calipari, 7-4 to the under in February, 5-0 to the under as a road dog of 6 or less. But it's Nate Oates, man. He's a psychopath. I'm on Arkansas. It's super square. I think every square bear like me out there is going to be on the Razorbacks. I don't care. Arkansas is built for this style of fight. They're peaking at the right time. The one interesting wrinkle of John Calipari going to Arkansas is that he's had to learn how to coach again.
Yeah.
For a long time, it was just throw the balls out, let the kids play, let the five stars, the one and dones make him look good. He's had to learn how to be a coach again, and his team is playing better basketball right now in February. Because of that, I think it's a good spot to take Arkansas, as Alabama doesn't have the depth anymore that they had a few weeks ago. And Arkansas is ready for this fight. 35th from three, 37%, 31st from two, 17th in effective field goal percentage, the fifth best adjusted offensive efficiency. They can play Alabama's game potentially better than Alabama can.
To your point about the under, and this is something I saw in Bill Ady's daily newsletter up there, quoting something from Adam Burke's article. This is the 14th game of the season with a total 180 or higher. The 13 prior, 10-3 to the under. So when we have had these really high totals, more often than not, they have gone under. 4 of those games had Alabama involved. I'm sure that's shocking you. 2-2 to the under.
Yeah, let's see what the betting splits say. VSiN.com for the DraftKings Circa betting splits. And I'm right. At DraftKings, 66% of the money on 66% of the bets, backing Arkansas plus 4.5. That is more of where the public, the national money's coming in across the country. We go to Circa, where we sit right now. It is the sharpest book in the country, and the sharp action's on Alabama. 56% of the money on 38% of the bets. By the way, slight little tick to the money on the under 183.5. 73% of the money on 68% of the bets on the under 183.5. At that point, you know what you got to do, and it feels like a cop-out whenever people say, you know, you just live bet it. If they get off to a really fast start and this thing gets up to like 188, 189, then you go under. Until then, I'm probably not touching it.
This game tipping off in just a little bit, by the way, 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Another game also tipping off at that same time, TNT, HBO Max, number 5 ranked UConn against Creighton. And this will lead us to another game I know you have interest in the Big East. But UConn, a 15.5 point home favorite in this spot. The total has also been bet up from 139.5 to 143.5. Not a very good Creighton team. A large spread, generally speaking, is warranted for UConn, but this is a Huskies team that hasn't been able to cover double-digit numbers in Big East play this season. 1-8 ATS in those such matchups.
That's a big move on the total, man. Yeah. Circa, where we sit, at 144. So we're talking a 4.5-point move on that total. Last night I wrote in my notes I leaned over 142.5. At 143.5, you know, we're getting close here. The under is on a 6-2 run in this series. 3-0 when it's played at Stores. The problem with the Big East right now is the basketball stinks. The product is terrible. All of these teams are borderline unwatchable, and I'll include UConn. UConn's not fun. I know they're ranked high. They have good analytics. They have good numbers. I'm not buying UConn as a legitimate team here. I think what I heard is all the Big East teams are waiting for their revenue sharing to come in next year, so they haven't been able to spend like some of the other leagues have. In this spot, I'd still think about the over 142.5, even though I just mentioned all that stuff in the under, but I'm not willing to lay it. I'm also not willing to take it with Creighton because Creighton's been a team that has relied on depth and guys returning year after year. Those guys are gone, man. They're all at different programs within the NBA or the G League playing overseas. That has been one of the biggest issues of NIL is a lot of these mid-majors. And that's what Creighton is. Don't act like the Big East is like still a power four school. They don't have the money to keep those guys anymore. So Creighton can't lure them in. And because of that, the product is suffering. And Creighton's just not what they used to be. I'd stay away from this game completely. I don't even want to watch it.
UConn a true national championship? Because I don't think
not
so.
Not buying
either.
It. Okay. Not buying it. I would buy St. John's, the only Big East team, and that is only because Pitino is the best tournament coach this side of Izzo.
They're a big favorite against Marquette today. I don't know if you have a feel on that one. I'm set. The game that we were going to talk about, I didn't realize that was an earlier start game. Butler-Georgetown, already underway.
Oh, well, I had it up on the website last night, vsin.com/picks, for all the picks from every show. Georgetown shouldn't be laying 6.5 to anybody. Now, I don't know what the score
they're
is.
They're laying 1.5 live, so they're down 13-7 early.
Yeah. Georgetown. Okay. Ed Cooley and Georgetown. Let's go through the schedule real quick as we have a minute here. Georgetown basketball schedule. Because they went on a 4-game win streak, they're being treated as if they're a good basketball team. Guys, they stink. They shouldn't be a 6.5-point. This should have been a 3-4-point spread maximum in this game. They reeled off wins at Providence, DePaul, at Butler, Creighton, and then the winning streak came to an end. They're a horrible basketball team. And Ed Cooley, 2-5 against the spread as a home favorite of 6.5 to 12, 12-17 against the spread as a home favorite overall. It was just way too many points. You had to take it with Butler. And right now it's looking good pretty early.
Yeah, the money line price on Butler just plus 105 right now, and they're up 13-7. So keep it rolling there for your boys. Last minute, anything else that caught your attention in college basketball we didn't hit?
Yeah, okay. You mentioned the Marquette game. Eileen taking the 9.5 with Marquette, but they're so bad and so rough offensively. They should get up for St. John's coming to town, but I wouldn't touch it. I like Illinois-USC over. I went over 152 last night. Number one offense in Illinois. We know that Musselman can coach offense. Underwood 7-5 to the over as a road favorite of 6.5 to 12, 13-9 to the over on the road when the total's in the 150s. And I got a million trends for Musselman that says over, over, over in this spot. The over is the play.
Beautiful. Okay, on that note, we got to step aside here real quickly. Do want to remind you, all of these plays, like you mentioned, up on vsin.com, vsin.com/picks each and every day. VSIN Pro subscriber, you get unlimited access to everything we do with the website each and every day. You can join us right now for as little as $9.99. You get all of the best bets, the real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, plus all of our guides, which includes the MLB betting guide that dropped yesterday in full. VSIN.com/subscribe. In Pocket Plays to close us out coming up next. We'll be right back.
algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right, let's get into it. Czech Republic to win a medal does not get there. Although, boy, were we live today against Canada. I gotta tell you, this was a play I liked pre-flop in the tournament because I loved their goaltending. I thought that they were a team that could contend with some of these teams. Yet they came out so freaking flat early in the prelims. Their draw, when all was said and done, for you to get into the qualification, it wasn't a good setup for them. Yet somehow we were still alive. So put that in the bank as an L. Unfortunate, Czech Republic doesn't get there. Ultimately, though, we are still alive on a couple of our other things, which includes my Canada future. I bet them last Friday, plus 114, ultimately to win gold. Hopefully that comes to fruition. We can flip the graphic, guys, to the next plays. And that is also, speaking of which, team to win gold. I also have Team USA doing that on the women's side against Canada. I bet this right away on the puck line, -1.5 for Team USA. You did have to lay a hefty number at -150. I also came back in laying the 2 at a plus money price. Now, if you go to look at Team USA laying, they're out to $5 favorites in some places on the money line. And you have to lay 2.5 now.
That's crazy.
The prices are insane.
Do you think you would have won your bet had you referred to them by their correct name of Czechia and not the Czech Republic?
It's the same.
I know, but they're not going by that. Maybe that's the bad juju you put out there, and your bet lost.
You know what's weird about this is that they've been like listed as both.
Super confusing.
It's very like. Someone from there, can you let us know? What do you prefer? What's the proper, or is it something that works fine either way?
Is it Taiwan that's also Chinese Taipei? I always get confused with that one when it comes around.
I am not cultured.
Yes,
I am not the right person I'm to ask
like,
about this.
Everyone's like, oh, it's Chinese Taipei. And I'm like, I've never seen that on a map once. And then I'm like, no, it's Taiwan. And I'm like, guys, can we stick to one name? I struggle remembering the one name as it is, okay?
Well, maybe does USA confuse some people for not here?
Because people definitely refer to us as USA, the U.S., Americans.
Yeah, there's too many.
There's too many options. But you know what? We run the world, so we do whatever we want.
Nothing new for today, although I told you, like, I am kicking myself about the quarterfinals. The final couple minutes of the show, I felt very vindicated with JVT being, like, mean to me about wanting to talk hockey. But all of the angles that we discussed ended up coming to fruition in the quarters. We have a full day, though, to preview the semis. So excited to get into that tomorrow on Money Moves. How about you? How'd you do yesterday and moving forward to today?
Yesterday was good. First day back from vacation. I think it was 4-1-1. We hit Michigan money line. I should have just laid it, but whatever. I paid a little juice there at -152. Way off in UCLA, Michigan State. I had the under 139.5. I got to tell you, I was winning a lot of unders with Michigan State early in the year. I think I'm like 0 for my last three looking at their unders lately, so that might be something I avoid going forward. I had Georgia, Kentucky over 161. I had the Iowa money line against Nebraska. And then Minnesota +3.5 won outright at Eugene. I think it's the end of Dana Altman. Talk about losing your fastball. He's just not built for this current culture. That's a dude that every time the tournament would come around, just knew how to coach his team up for conference tourney play, for the NCAA tournament. That team does not look very good right now. And then I had Texas Tech, Arizona State, first half over 73. It landed directly on 73. These are the bets that I put up on the website last night, you know, when I was hosting my show, Cashing Out, which you can catch from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, which includes a game currently going on right now, Butler at +6.5 at Georgetown. Let's get an updated score, see how we're looking, just because I just didn't understand the spread of 6.5. Trying to refresh my feed here. Every time it's all
24-15.
Butler's winning outright, 24-15. And by the way, I mentioned again, had it up on the website last night, you ding-dongs on Twitter. Just want to point that out. Also, we're on Arkansas +4.5. It feels really square, but I just think Arkansas is built to play this game that the Tide want to run with. Illinois USC over 152. I mentioned I had all those trends before. to the over in this game. I got a million more when it comes to Musselman. It's a great spot for USC to go over. Them at home, them in this spot, taking on a top team in Illinois that wants to run. Musselman 11-5 to the over at home, and the total's in the 150s. 12-2 to the over on Wednesdays, which is always just a fun little wrinkle to throw out there. 8-3 to the over in February, and 4-0 to the over when playing with 5 or 6 days of rest. You got two good offenses. Illinois controls the pace. They dangle the carrot, and USC will run with them. And then the last one, Maryland Northwestern. We're going to go under in this one. I think it's going to be an ugly game. Buzz Williams, I mean, he's an ugly coach. Not as a human, like his style of play. 3-1 to the under on the road with the total in the 140s for him. His offense can't shoot threes. They can't make twos. They're almost 200th from the free throw line. Other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln? And then Chris Collins, 15-12 to the under as a home favorite of 6.5-12. 31-19 to the under at home when the total's in the 140s. We're going to go under on Maryland Northwestern under 144.5.
Beautiful. Reminder, everybody, baseball season is here. If you're betting Major League Baseball, don't step up to the plate unprepared this season. The new VSiN MLB betting guide out now, your playbook for the entire year. Inside, you get in-depth previews for all 30 teams, deep dive into whether money really buys championships, MVP, Cy Young Awards, everything, a complete stats glossary, key team terms to know, expert betting insight from the VSiN pro team, plus player perspective from our guy, Jensen Lewis, former MLB pitcher and current VSiN host of VSiN by the Book. Download the guide now for just $19.99 or become a VSiN pro subscriber. Get the guide included along with the daily best bets, real-time bet splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24-7 video, all on the VSiN watch app, VSIN.com/guide or VSiN.com/subscribe to join us on that full-time basis. Last couple minutes here, we did see on DraftKings Sportsbook in the last half hour, NFL season win totals dropping. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are already looking ahead. And the minute you saw this drop, there was already a team or two that caught your eye.
Yeah, okay. So obviously we don't know the way the schedule is going to go. We do know that teams that had really hard schedules that didn't do well will probably be a little more lenient next year and the other way around. So I think that plays a role in this as well.
And you will start to see these numbers shift, not only just from the bets, but when those schedules come out, it's interesting. You think about a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers the last handful of years, where, of course, they're always going to be set at that 8.5 number because of Tomlin for years and years. Will that continue without him there at the helm now? But when the schedule had, you know, dominant team after dominant team after dominant team in the preseason, all compact together in a certain point, you see that plus money on a certain side become a minus 130, right? And so that's what you can expect to see as we go on here with these full game shifts as well that we'll see throughout the coming months. But it is interesting to see, at least in the offset, what odds makers have for certain teams.
And Pittsburgh win total is set at 8.5 once
because
again.
Of course it is.
It's all, because I mean, like clockwork. Don't know the quarterback, new head coach. 8.5 is the win total for the Steelers.
And,
okay.
And apparently, by the way, I know that this is annoying to talk about, but they want Aaron Rodgers to come back. He has to make that decision relatively soon. They actually gave him a timeline, unlike the regime last year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what they do. Are they going to trade for Kyler Murray? Is that going to be the desperation move?
No.
I don't know what they do outside of Aaron Rodgers, and I wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers if I'm them, so I don't understand it. Okay, let's do a few unders first. New England is the first one everyone thinks about at 10.5. Hardest schedule. It was a down year for Buffalo. Could you do an under on the Patriots, who had one of the easiest schedules? That means this year they're going to have a first place schedule going into the year. It's going to be a lot harder. The roster, though, will have played together. In terms of cap space, they do have the 10th most cap space right now. So they could be better talent-wise. Would you go under on the Patriots?
Yeah, I think that they are a prime regression candidate. Not to say that I don't believe in Mike Vrabel and Drake May and all of the things that they're building there. However, exactly what you just laid out, not only did they have the easiest schedule in the NFL, it was the easiest in a quarter century that they played. And now you go from that to a first-place schedule with a team that really didn't have a whole lot of expectations to all of the expectations on your shoulder. It's going to be a different deal looking ahead to next year. So I would say early lean, certainly there on the 10.5. Surprised to see, at least in my mind, no 11.5s.
No, 10.5 was the highest. 100%. I was surprised by that as well. What about Green Bay set at 10.5? They lose Jeff Hafley. No, you don't know when Parsons is returning, what he's going to look like. They're negative in cap space, so they got to clean things up on the roster right now. And it feels like they kind of wanted to push Matt LaFleur out the door. They just didn't really have a good plan in place to replace him this offseason. Could Green Bay under 10.5 be a way to look?
They get on the schedule this year the NFC North, so the Lions, Vikings, Bears, The NFC South, so that's going to play in your favor. In the AFC East, so hit and miss.
Don't love that then. All right, here are the overs that jump out. Washington over 7.5 wins. They have the fifth most cap space. Jaden Daniels getting healthier. I think that makes sense. The Giants, I love. Now, this is trendy, though, because it's very similar to Vrabel and the Patriots and everything that went on there. Second-year quarterback, stability with a new head coach who knows what he's doing. I think the Giants over 7.5. And then Atlanta, 6.5 wins. They could win the South next year, and I don't even know who's playing quarterback.
This was fun, buddy.
It went fast.
This went by really fast. This was a blast.
It was nice being here when the sun was still out.
I know. And you're going to get home and eat like dinner at a reasonable time without having to do extra work to prep. You
it's
can just
incredible.
Sweat out your games in peace.
I can actually get ahead of tomorrow now, my last day of the week, too.
Speaking of which, yes, make sure you join Dustin tomorrow at 11 Eastern on Cashin' Out. Also, me and JVT will be back in our usual spot on Money Moves, 11 to 1 Pacific, 2 to 4 Eastern, right before Follow the Money. But you boys, Mitch and Pauly back from vacation coming up tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck with the bets.